I'm going to bring our brother Sheldon Jones to the stage in just a moment. Brother Sheldon is the minister preacher at the Blueberry Hill Church of Christ for about 18 years. He grew up in and born and raised in Blueberry Hill and is now serving the kingdom of God in the very land where he was born and raised. I shared in class that one of the blessings of the COVID and the pandemic is that when we began our men's group, men's Bible study on Saturday mornings, we began to have our brothers from Guyana, we have a brother from the Philippines that join us. And for so regularly, weekly, for the past 3 years, we get to see Brother Sheldon and hear from him and talk with him and engage with him. And as Kent says, and I would agree, Sheldon is the man with the million-dollar smile. He is a passionate preacher. He's passionate about sharing God's word with those who do not know Jesus. And it has been a blessing and a pleasure for us to support him and his work in Guyana. So I'm going to bring Brother Sheldon to the stage. The mic is yours. Please deliver to us God's great truth. And after you preach, the elders, we're all going to come down. We're going to surround you and pray around you and pray for your work. God bless you.
Good morning, everyone. All right, so the spotlight is on me today. All right, not too familiar with the spotlight, but here I am with the spotlight and everyone's focus pretty much is in front. I'm indeed so grateful and thankful for this opportunity. And as the guys would have mentioned, during the COVID time, we were able to meet online, and I've been able to see directly the faces of the guys. But being here today, as I told them in the class early on, I'm now getting to see the faces of their wives. All right, so I've known the guys for most of them for 3 years, with the exception of Brother John. And also Brother Greg, I've known them for the greater part of my life. All right, many, many years. Also Sister Darlene, Brother Dean, I've known a long time. And a few other guys, I've been able to meet Brother Joe, his wife on this trip, but I've met him before. And just thankful to God for everyone and also for the work here. Brother Bob Swackhammer, and I couldn't forget his name. All right, he is the one that gives us a lot of jokes on the connection. So as soon as he came in this morning, I think it was either Brother John I said, "Is that Brother Bob?" All right, I remember the face, and I went and I meet him. And the thing about it, all the guys' voices sounds the same in person. All right? Their voices sounds the same. But today, it is not just about the guys and the work here, but for us to try to pay some attention to God's word and also to be thankful for God and what God has done for all of us. With that being said, our title of our lesson today is right there on the screen, The Goodness of God. The Goodness of God. As we consider our lives, as we reminisce on the things that God has done for you and I, it is but truth, it is what's also right for us to consider what goodness also entails. What goodness also requires. By way of definition, we have the word goodness being put forward as the uprightness of one's heart and also one's life. The uprightness of one's heart and also of one's life. Hence, we think about Nahum in Nahum chapter 1 verse 7, our text for today. And with this text, our points actually derives from this very text in Nahum chapter 1, verse number 7. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, "The Lord is good. a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. When I consider God's goodness, we want to see how we can get through or get by with just 3 points for today. Points that we want to take notice of is number one, the Lord is good. Number two, the Lord is a stronghold in trouble. And number three, the Lord knows those who trust in him. But as we delve into number one, the Lord is good. Church, isn't it obvious? Aren't we all able to say today, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord is good? When we think about the goodness of God, we want to be able to zoom it in somewhat to our very lives as individuals, while we consider that the Lord is good, not only in the moments when things seem to be going right and nice for us, but we consider Psalm 31, verse 19, the Bible there speaks of, oh, how great is God's goodness. Church, I want to be able to allow us to realize that not only is the goodness of God good, but if we are able to put a notch on God's goodness, the Bible says, oh, how great is God's goodness. In our lives, we may equate goodness and greatness to when people does a few things. But when we are able to look at God, the Bible says that the goodness of God is what, church? Is great. The goodness of God is incomparable. We're not able to compare nothing on the face of this earth, in our universe, in our lives, towards the goodness of God, because God's goodness, the Bible says, it is great. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee. Before the sons of men, the Bible also tells us that the earth is full of the Lord's goodness. Psalm 33, verse 5. We don't even have to step out of this building, but if we are able to take a look around us today, we will be convinced enough to say that, yes, God is good. And even if we step out of this building and we look around our universe, we're able to say, yes, God is indeed good. And the earth is full of God's goodness. The Bible says he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Church, we think about Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, it does what, church? It leadeth one to repentance. The Lord is so good that he does not have no ill will towards us. The Lord is so good that he does not want us to perish. The Lord is so good that he does not want man to see the rudiments of life. He does not want man to be lost, because the Bible says in Romans 2:4 that the goodness of God, it does what? It leads one to repentance. Hence our question today, is there someone that needs to repent? We all would have said early on that we believe that, yes, the goodness of God is real, and we believe in God's goodness. But if we so believe in God's goodness, and we believe in it so strongly, and we find ourselves far away from God today, will that same goodness of God that you would have said yes to early on, will that goodness of God lead you back to him? Because the goodness of God, it leads one to repentance. We think about the rejoicing of a person. We think about the result of when the Lord is good to an individual. We sometimes find someone, you know, giving praise and glory to God. They're happy they are. They are excited for what God has done. Sometimes you breathe that breath of fresh air and that sigh of relief in your life. And you say, yes, God, I'm thankful because you are good to me. We also think about when a child is born. And you look upon that child and you say, God, you're so good. And I'm thankful for your goodness. Church, not only that the Lord is good, but secondly, we need to consider that the Lord is a stronghold in trouble. Have you ever find yourself in a perplexed situation before? Have you ever find yourself as though your back is against the wall? And it's like everywhere you turn, it's like nothing isn't working out for you. And you're always going through times of troubles, times of sorrows, times of hardships. Times when you feel as though, hey, all hope is lost. I'm going to give up now. I want to commit suicide. You're thinking about those things. Those things are running through the minds of not only the young, but also of the old. But then you realize, you know what? In all of this, God got me. You know, he is my stronghold. When I try to hold on to alcohol to bring me relief, it is temporary. I try to run behind whatever drugs. I feel good at that time, but then it wears off. I try to run here and there behind different things. Nothing seems to work for a long period of time. But church, have you tried holding on to God? Have you tried holding on to God? Because if he is my stronghold, Psalm 46 verse 1, the Bible says the Lord, he is a refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help in troubles. Church, when you're going through your troubles, the Bible says the Lord is a present help. In trouble. How far is he? He is present. Can I reach out to him? Yes, he is present. Can I have access to him? Yes, he is present. Can he help me? Yes, because he is present. So whatever you're going through today, and whatever you may face in your life as we continue to live, I want us to understand that the Lord should always be our stronghold. You know, consider when a person is in that body of water. And when that person is in that body of water, and it seems as though their limbs are giving up. Probably they are going through a hard time in trying to reach land. Church, even if a straw is passing by, that person will try to grab onto that straw because they want to be saved. They want to be rescued. So they grab, and they reach out to whatever it is. Whatever is passing, that is what they try to reach out to be rescued from. Ain't no different from us. Sometimes in our lives, instead of us considering that, hey, I need to reach out to God, we try to grab hold of everything that comes by. And when all is said and done, sometimes in our quiet moments, we say, you know what? Hey, I should have reached out to God a long time before. But church, we need to understand that the Lord is our refuge and he is our strength. And he is that present help. When no one else is there to help us, God is there. When they promise us they're going to help us and they don't show, God is there. When we are asleep at night, God is there. When we're in the valley, God is there. On the mountaintop, God is still there. Who will we hold on to? The proverb said in Proverbs 18:10, the Lord's name is a strong tower. The righteous run it into it, and they are what? They are safe. Church, where will we run? To whom will we run to? In our times and moments of despair, in our times and moments of hardships, in our times when it feels as though the world is crumbling down, it's crushing down on me, where will I run? To who will I run to? Church, we need to run to God. And if he is not your stronghold today, will you allow him to be your stronghold? You think about a person who is living on the streets. Do we think when that person who is there on the streets, do we think that they are saying that, hey, God is good to me? We highly doubt that. Do we think sometimes even to ourselves, when we are going through our points of difficulties as Christians, even we sometimes don't believe God is good no more? Because how can he be such a good God and I am going through all of these pains and hardships? How is he a good God and I am having all of these illnesses? How is he such a good God and I am going through all of these traumas in my life? You think about when a person is sick. You think about your child being sick. And your desire as a parent is for that child to get well. But that child never recovers. Will God be good to you still? Do you think that he is still good to you? Sometimes as servants of God, we become convenient in our service to him. So when things are going good, wow, God is great. He is good. But when things are not going so good, that same good God has become a terrible God. Is that the story of your life? When things are not going the way you want them to go, is he still that good God? Will you still reach out to him? Will you still cry out to him? Will you still yearn for him? Will you still desire to be in the presence of God? Will you still? You think about Peter while he walked on that water. And when Peter begins to sink, who did Peter cry out to? Jesus. He cried out to Jesus. His first response was he cried out to Jesus. Not his second, not his third, not his last, but his first response is that he cried out to Jesus. Who do we cry out to first? Who do we seek first? Do we cry out to Jesus? Do we cry out to our Lord? Church, we need to realize that not only that the Lord is good, not only that he is that stronghold in time of trouble, but I want us to also consider that the Lord knows those who trust in him. The Lord is not only good to those who are his servants, but the Lord is good to all of humanity. Not only that the Lord is good to those who are constantly coming to services, but the Lord's goodness has been made known, has been declared to everyone in this entire world. But church, what makes the cut is when all is said and done, is if he knows you or not. is if he knows you or not. The Bible says in our text, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Very importantly, if you are not trusting in the Lord right now, he doesn't know you. That's not Sheldon's words, but it is God's word. So if you find yourself in that spot today, in that position of not being known to God, what do you need to do? Trust in him. You need to make sure that you are trusting in the Lord. We consider in the book of John 10, 1 through 21, but just looking at verses 1 through 5, we are able to realize that the Bible says that the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd, and the shepherd also knows them by name. And the sheep will not hearken, will not listen unto the voice of strangers, because he knows who his shepherd is. So they have a wonderful relationship. The shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep knows their shepherd. Does he know us by name today? Does he know you? Does he know me? Do we know his voice? Can we listen to his voice? Can we follow his voice? Or are there other voices that we are listening to? And as a result, we are going away, we are deviating, we are coming off course, and we are not following him down that path of righteousness no more, because hence our journey now is on a broad road that leads to destruction. But I want to keep on that narrow path that leads to life. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. I don't want to follow a path that will lead to destruction, but I want to follow a path where Jesus leads, and I will have eternal life with him. Does he know you? Does he know me? If he doesn't know Sheldon, Sheldon is in trouble. Big, big trouble. So I want to make sure that my trust is form in God. I want to make sure that the life that I am living, as the writer in Proverbs says, Proverbs 3, 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Proverbs 3, 1, 5 through 8, yes. When we think about how great and how good God is, we sang the song not too long ago, how his goodness is running. It's running after me. The thing about God is that God always remains God. So if God was good yesterday, he will be good today. And he will be good tomorrow, once there is a tomorrow. But not the same thing with us. We might have been nice yesterday, today we are terrible, and tomorrow we are worse. But God has been good, and God is good, and God will continue to be good. Church, it is not about us changing God's word to suit us, but it's about us changing our lives to suit God. Does he know us by name? Do we know his voice? Today is that day. As we hasten to our conclusion, the goodness of God, the Lord is good, He is a stronghold in time of trouble. He knows those that trust in him. We would have said, yes, the Lord is good. We would have realized that whatever we're going through in life, God needs to be our stronghold. We would have also realized that for him to know us, we have to trust in him. But after all of those realizations, what happens now? What happens now? Church, today is that day of salvation. Today is that day for those who would have never surrendered their lives to God. Today is that day for you to surrender. I believe that there are many people in here who are not afraid to get wet in baptizing someone. I don't think so. But I also believe that for that to happen, we need to have a believing heart to come forward to be baptized. I also believe that the time that we have, the moment that we have, is right now. We've heard God's word. Do you believe that word to be true? Are you going to repent of what you've done? Are you going to acknowledge, confess that yes, Jesus is my Lord? He is the Son of God. And be baptized so that your sins can be washed away. And like the Roman writer in Romans 2:4 would have said, that the goodness of God, it does what? It leads one to repentance. So if you have given your life to God already, but you realize that you've been wandering away, will you return? Will you return to God? Church, today is that day. Why wait on tomorrow when tomorrow is promised unto no man? But we have now. Realizing as a child of God, you have not been serving God the way you should, will you return to him today? Also being here today, and you have never given your lives to God in baptism so that your sins can be washed away, we cannot pray your sins away. We cannot give you a book and your sins are going to be vanished. But you have to surrender your life in baptism so that your sins can be washed away. Do we have such a person that needs God so much today? As we sing our invitational song, that child of God who would have wandered away, will you return to God today? And for that individual who would have never given their life to God, will you give your life to God today? Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. But surrender your life to God today. Because why, church? The Lord is good.